Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey guys, Matt Donald here. Just letting you know once again, as I always do, that I now, as in always, forever and always, have a Patreon! Yay! At patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you'll find bonus content for both the Ritwit and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, and this month we're talking about Camp Cretaceous, the Netflix hit show in the Jurassic World canon. The reason why I'm not saying Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous is I'm trying to hide the fact that we've covered so many different things in the Jurassic Park slash World franchise. Look, guys, it's the one big dinosaur franchise out there. If you want there to be two big dinosaur franchises, buy my book, Megazoic, on Amazon.com. Anyways, link is in the description for where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a lovely day!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast with a brain the size of a walnut. My name's Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by the ambassador of bad sci-fi movies everywhere, trying to, you know, start relations with us, with them, so we could get to know these obscure piles of Drek. Natasha Crack, how are you?
Hi, Matt. I'm well.
Oh, that's good. Good to hear. The things you've subjugated me to. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Oh, good
What,
stuff.
You were watching Mel Brooks movies again?
Oh, Mel Brooks is great. I love Mel Brooks. Oh, Mel Brooks is great. Spaceballs, History of Part 1, Robin Hood, Men in Tights, The Producers, Young Frankenstein.
Hotel Transylvania, he was involved with,
yes,
some of those?
Yes, he voiced some of those. He was also in Toy Story 4 in a brief cameo, which is kind of funny.
I saw that when I was looking up his movies the other night.
It was like, whoa, Mel Brooks in a Toy Story movie. Well, that's nice.
Whose idea was that to let him loose?
Well, it was like a group of part of a group of toys that are all puns off of various old-timey actors. So, like, Betty White was in there. Carl Reiner, may he rest in peace. And who is the other person? I forgot who the other person was. But she was another person, and I forgot, she's another famous actor, old actor. I don't know, anyways. So here's the question I'm going to ask you, the dinosaur-related question. So I've already asked you, because you like to go on like hikes and other adventures, I've already asked you if you could hike in a prehistoric landscape, what would it be? So I'm going to ask you this time, if you could go on to a modern hike, like anywhere now, but you could take a dinosaur or other prehistoric animal with you as a traveling guide, which one and why? And also, where would you go when you have this new dinosaur at hand,
well,
or other creature?
My first thought is going to be, because this one's actually on my bucket list, Colorado Trail.
Yes.
Gotta be a dinosaur that can handle some shifting weather.
Okay, like...
probably an herbivore.
Yes. Shifting... And like, how steep is this trail? Like,
well, it varies, actually.
Okay.
Because so... it goes Denver to Durango. It's a 500-mile trip.
Oh, yes, you've told me about this one. So
totally on my bucket list to walk 500 miles across the state.
To walk 500 miles. Yeah, I made that joke before with you.
So, I'm probably... I've seen how sturdy those Edmontosauruses are.
Yeah, I was going to say one of those, because they actually, we have evidence of them migrating a long ways during the winter, because some of them lived up in Alaska in the summer, and then once winter hit, because Alaska was actually even further up north than the Cretaceous than it is now, and they would migrate down the side of Canada. So yeah, Edmontosaurus would probably be a good one.
And
if you got really tired, which you wouldn't because you're a machine, but if you got really tired, you could ride it.
Well, and any modern predator would think twice about something that size.
Yeah, 40-foot long, like, duckbill thing. Got to figure out a way to feed it, though, or give it enough water.
Well, if it was a migratory creature...
I guess it's true. It could fast. It would eat something big at the beginning
be
and then just fast.
Good... I've walked sections of the Colorado Trail.
Yeah.
On the southwest end. There's rivers, there's lakes where you camp along.
Yeah. Get a drink, yeah. And then,
yeah.
You have to make sure whenever it poops, it does it in like some sort of garden so you can have some provide some fertilizer. Well, I guess I could just do that out in the woods anyways. And then
yeah.
You know, just get some good greenery there. So speaking of not walking, not woods, not dinosaurs, not anything we were talking about, we're talking about a giant fish. We're talking about Leeds Ichthys today, the fish of Leeds. Leeds is some guy. I should have Googled who that was. I remember, this is actually the second time we've recorded this episode, and I remember the first time we recorded this episode, because I lost the episode. Long story, I was dumb. The first time, I didn't know who Leeds was, and I was like, I should have Googled that. And then I forgot. And then now the second time, I forgot again. I still don't know who this Leeds fellow is. I could look it up right now in the middle of the recording, but I'm not going to because I want to maintain some semblance of professionalism.
Wait, we're professionals? I thought we were just a couple of goofballs who liked prehistoric life.
I mean, we're all that. It's all the things. But no, we're talking about Leeds, like these fish of Leeds. Leeds is some guy, some fish man. He's like Aquaman, that's what I'm saying. He's a fish guy. So Leeds Ichthys, its type, it's a pachycormid, an extinct group of Mesozoic ray-finned fish. Size 46 to 59 feet / 14 to 18 meters long. It was a filter-feeding carnivore, using an array of gill rakers lining its mouth to extract zooplankton from the water when passing through. Time, mid to late Jurassic, 165 to 152 million years ago. Location, England, France, Germany, and Chile. Quite a range.
Indeed, but...
You know, the ocean had everywhere to go.
If this was an open ocean creature...
Yeah. Could have been around the entire world, you know. Like,
realistically could have, but as we've talked about before, the process of fossilization...
Mm-hmm. It's quite rare.
And quite finicky.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of fossils underneath the ocean, like just sitting in the bottom of the ocean that we could never get to. figure out a way. So, I don't know, we might figure out a way someday. Yeah, most of the time when you find fossils for ocean-dwelling creatures, it's when the layer of rock has been pushed onto land.
That's why you find shark's teeth on top of mountains.
Yes, yes. Mountains. And sometimes you find places where it was underwater before, but it's not now. Like
Colorado.
Yeah, like Colorado,
we're recording from.
Or like, you can find so many mosasaur fossils in like Kansas and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was all underwater before.
We were once a terrifying ocean.
Quite scary. The North American Inway Sea. I forget. There's a name for it. The one in the Cretaceous period that just split the continent in two. I forget what it is. I'm so professional. I should really do something about that. I really should learn. I'm trying to teach people in this dumb show, but I can't learn anything myself. I've failed. I failed all of you. Anyways, it was described in 1889. See, I failed. I don't get the years right. This show's canceled, guys. Ah, no, it's going to keep going. It's going to go forever. Pop culture appearances. Chased by Sea Monsters, a show by the makers of Walking with Dinosaurs. It features a school of them when Nigel Marvin traveled back to the Jurassic period for a Seven Deadliest Seas of All Time show. Did you ever see this? Did I ever show you this?
I think I have.
Yeah, it was pretty cool when he traveled back in time to all these various places. And it didn't say how he traveled back in time. He just did, which was kind of cool. And he didn't need to explain that. Just had a time-traveling boat with a crew on there, you know. I think the Megalodon sea, though, was too low placed. It was number 3 on the Seven Deadly Seas. It should be, like, number 2 or number 1. Because it, as well as Megalodon, also had Leviathan and a bunch of other predators. Yeah, Nigel Marvin would not have survived that ocean.
Let's be honest. Would modern humans have survived any prehistoric ocean?
The Precambrian one, they probably would. Yeah, when there's just a bunch of single-celled organisms. I mean, they probably would die from lack of oxygen. I mean, if they didn't bring your own tank. But if you're scuba diving in there, you'd probably be okay.
Probably.
But other than that, I don't know. Even like the Cambrian Ocean, I don't know, because like you have Anomalocaris, and it could probably
that could probably do some damage.
Yeah, because it was meant to like crunch on the shells of trilobites, so it could probably crunch through your arm.
Probably,
if it wanted to. Good news, it's probably pretty slow though, so you could avoid it probably pretty easily.
The real question is, was it a pack hunter?
Probably not. What would it need to have pack hunted? The technical term of pack hunting.
That's always one of the questions that we can't always answer with paleontology, though, is was this predator, any predator, a pack hunter, or was it solo?
Yeah, like, we have some ideas, but another time, there's no way to really prove it. Even if you have a big fossil bed of a bunch of them all dying together, you could be like, oh, this could be over a period of time, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it was a lake bed with a sudden event.
Yeah, maybe it was a predator trap. Where a bunch of different creatures all got trapped, and then which attracted more and more predators, you know.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, as well as that, as the Chase by Sea Monsters, they're also in Ark Survival Evolved and Jurassic World the Game, like so many other things. That game has so much crap in it. So many different creatures. It's crazy. So not all enormous marine creatures of the Mesozoic era are reptiles. Even though this time of Earth's history is dominated by various groups of reptiles from one biome to the other, on the land, in the sky, and in the ocean, there were several other creatures vying for their chance for greatness amidst a sea of scales.
You know, though, you did miss one pop culture appearance, and it was one of my favorites.
Oh?
River Monsters.
Oh, that's right.
With Jeremy Wade.
That's right, I remember.
He was doing a compilation of the greatest quote-unquote river monsters, to stick with the theme of the show. Obviously, a lot of them were ocean dwellers.
Yeah, that's not really. What kind of river is that? I mean, I guess you could call the Great American Interway Sea a river, but even then, that was after Lead Zygthes.
Yes.
And that's as much of a river as the Mediterranean Sea is. So.
But nonetheless, it featured there, and I actually admit I've been binge-watching that a lot, too.
Yeah, well, let me know if they talk about any creatures you'd like to maybe discuss on this podcast.
Well, there is one that managed to outlive the dinosaurs and still lives in the Amazon today.
Oh.
Called the Arapaima.
What's that?
Oh, it is quite the living torpedo.
Oh, I think I've actually heard of this one. If it's alive today, though, it doesn't count for paleobites. Sorry.
You know, yeah. Though, its ancestors outlived the dinosaurs, and it has modern descendants.
Okay, if it has a prehistoric version that's not alive today, then that can count. I'll take that. Okay. So, Lead Zygthes is probably the most impressive example of a non-reptile marine creature in the Mesozoic, as it was as a big fish in a sea dominated by marine reptiles, big and small. Of course, most of the time when you imagine big fish, you're probably thinking of cartilaginous ones, such as sharks. Today, the biggest fish is the whale shark, while in prehistoric times, you got ones like Megalodon running the show. However, Lead Zygthes was actually a bony fish, and was in fact the biggest bony fish of all time.
Which, in and of itself, is actually quite impressive, because there are limits on bony fish that there aren't.
Yeah.
As much on cartilaginous fish.
Yes, exactly. Like, today the biggest bony fish is the ocean sunfish, which is a weird-ass fish if there ever was one.
And believe it or not, they based a Pokemon on it.
I can believe that. I think I actually know, I've seen pictures of that Pokemon. I could not tell you for the life of you what its name is.
Alolan Momoa.
Oh. Right on the tip of my tongue.
Photographic memory.
Yeah, cool. Cool. There's only certain Pokemon I know. I know Pikachu, I know Charizard, I know... as well as all the famous ones, like, you know, those. I also know Skygon or Flygon.
Flygon.
I don't even know that one, so they didn't get it right the first time.
But that's it. Pokemon's weird. Even with its fossil Pokemon.
Isn't there one that's just a bunch of dangling keys on a keychain?
Yes, that is Klefki. It is a fairy type.
Yeah. What's its powers? It jingles, you know, when you gets lost when you don't know.
Quite
when you
mischievous.
Need a, it gets lost when you don't know where it is.
It,
and you need
it collects
the most...
lost keys.
Oh, okay. There
that's
you
part
go.
Of its shtick.
Okay, there you go. At least they're aware of that.
It's a mischievous fairy type.
Starts cars.
No, it'll most likely steal your car keys.
That's true. but so, as for how big Leedzichthys could get, there's been a lot of varied estimates over the years, and there hasn't been a preserved vertebral column discovered as of yet, but by comparing its gill basket, which was quite large, to some of its smaller relatives like Asthenocormus, some earlier estimates were as high as 91 feet or 27 meters long. Some popular science publications ran with these larger estimates and sometimes even further exaggerated them, sometimes giving sizes upwards of 115 feet / 35 meters long.
Which would put it on par with the great whales, which we, as
yeah.
far as we know, the great whales are the largest bony creatures to ever exist.
The largest creatures in general to exist. Like the
yes.
blue whale, a modern creature, which I think is really cool, is the largest animal ever. So... that's pretty cool. One absolute behemoth this thing must have been, right?
That still would have been an amazing animal to witness in the water.
But it wasn't this big, though. Of course it was enormous, but it wasn't that enormous. Due to the square cube law, the mass of something increases exponentially as its size grows, and the more the animal weighs, the more energy it requires, and the more energy an animal acquires, the more oxygen it needs to function. Therefore, the gill caskets would get much bigger relative to its size the bigger overall it got. So comparing its gill gasket to smaller relatives to determine its size is a flawed approach.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the consensus is that Leedzichthys was 46 to 59 feet / 14 to 18 meters long, an impressive animal, but nothing too outlandish. In fact, if it were to get much bigger, the gill crests would reach a point where there wouldn't be enough room in the body of the animal for them to be large enough to provide enough oxygen.
That's really no surprise. I mean, look at the size of the gills on, say, a basking shark.
Yeah,
they're like, obvious when this thing's mouth is open.
Yeah, exactly. And they're basically covered the entire side of it. Like,
and they're made and in sharks, they're crazy flexible.
Right, exactly. But yeah, see, that's the thing. They're cartilaginous, so they can be that flexible. For this one, it
for
wouldn't be.
Bony fish, yeah, no, yeah. There's going to be some serious limits because the jaw, as far as we know, opened and closed on the Leedzichthys.
Yeah, so because of these gill limits for how big the gills are, There's a clear limit in how big a water-breathing animal can get. And this is why whales can get so much bigger. They breathe air, which is much easier to intake oxygen from than water. They just take a big gulp, and then that's it.
Yep. Gulp. So, hold it for...
hours at a time,
some
sometimes.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, Leedzichthys might have been the biggest bony fish of all time and a true giant amongst a sea of reptiles... but blue whale-sized it was not.
No. It would have had to have become an air breather at that point.
Yeah, in which case it's already well on its way to becoming an amphibian. And can you imagine that thing crawling out of the water? Like the old amphibians, like the early fish becoming amphibians.
Would have had to be smaller for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, a 60-foot thing just like, bloop, 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 and everyone on the land is like, what is that? What's going on? This thing is too big. It shouldn't be possible.
Hey, like a whale, it would be crushed under its own weight.
Yes,
coming
it would.
On the land.
Sad day. Sad day. Fun thing to end on, though. Their species name is Problematicus.
Well, I mean, given that we haven't found a vertebra column.
I guess just... Leedzichthys Problematicus. Why? Is it because it told racist jokes?
Oh, just the fact that it existed?
I guess that's true. Well, in that case, that should be Platypus is Problematicus.
I'm sure the Aussies have some very creative words.
I think
the
genus name of the platypus is Ornithorhynchus, which is funny because platypus, the name platypus on itself is also Latin or Greek. It means flat foot. So why is there another Greek, ornithorhynchus, which means bird jaw? Why is there another one? It's called platypus. I don't know, but anyways, ornithorhynchus problematicus. That should be the name of the platypus.
Yes, particularly the male platypus.
The one with the the poison spur.
Venom.
Where it hurts so bad. Like, if you get stung by it, you're not going to die, but you're going to
wish
you'd die.
Because
it's like
because
the
every other thing in Australia wants to kill you.
It's true. It's very, very true. This
Who knows if there were venomous dinosaurs down there?
Well, according to Jurassic Park, Dilophosaurus is poisonous, but that's not a thing. Yeah, man. Anyways. All right, well, that's it for this week. Oh, wait, no. We forgot the most important part of the show. We forgot everyone's favorite part of the show.
Oh, what are we going to rate this creature?
Yeah, everyone's telling me this is their favorite part of the show. I'm not just saying that. Yeah, we rate the M01 out of 65 million. Let's see. I don't know. It's pretty good. 60 million? It's pretty
good.
Let's go
with 60 million. It was an impressive fish.
It was.
It would have been impressive to see.
Especially like a whole school of them, probably like several dozen, like swimming in the open ocean, filled like a pod of whales do now. It's just...
Well, some whales.
Some whales, yeah. I guess
you do see that behavior with basking sharks. They will swim in a line and swim through a
cloud of
really
krill
good
or
spot.
Just be like, it's probably easier for a water-breathing animal to filter feed because, that way, the air-breathing one doesn't have to deal with all the salt water just in its mouth. Ugh, salt water's disgusting. Anyways, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewdogcareer.com. For any general questions to me or any of the co-hosts, I can relay questions to any of them. You can find me on social media at Mathedon Creator on Facebook, at Mathedon64 on Twitter, and Mathedon64 on Instagram. If you want to support me on Patreon, I'm at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. That's pretty good. We talk about some pop culture feature prehistoric animals. And when we run out of that, I will, which, will be never, but, when we run out of that, I guess we'll talk about other things about dinosaurs. We'll see what happens when it comes. I also have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. Dinosaur sci-fi, pew pew, roar. I made that joke last time. There is, I think I mentioned Elite Zichthys once in it as like a comparison. Like, there's a small minnow in a pond full of Elite Zichthys or something, is what I said. I forget. I know my own books. I also have another podcast called The Writ Witch, where two twits talk about writing. Me and another guy, Matt David, great guy, great friend. Good guy. Nah, he's all right. but also, I forgot to mention this last time. If you could rate us on Apple Podcasts, that'd be great. The more, the merrier. 5 stars if you think we deserve it. help that algorithm going. Isn't that great? Also, I forgot. Natasha here did the illustrations for my book, Megazoic. So you had fun with that, right?
I did have fun with that.
Yeah, it was good stuff. All right. Well, that's it for this week. I'll see you at the end of every episode of Paleobites. Glub, 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 bloop, 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 bloop. Racist joke. Ah, how problematic of you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.